Welcome to the Public Safety Committee. I'm Ross McRemy, Chair. Joining us is Member Supervisor David Campos, and Supervisor Malia Cohen is away and will be excused. We have two items on the agenda. Thank you to SFG-TV for their ongoing excellence and coverage. First of all, why don't we take the excuse of Supervisor Cohen?
Motion.
Okay, very good. So moved. Madam Clerk, good afternoon. Would you please read item number one?
Item one, resolution authorizing the Department of the District Attorney of the City and County of San Francisco to retroactively accept and expend a grant in the amount of $198,676 through the United States Department of Justice Bureau of Justice Assistance for a program entitled Intellectual Property Crime Enforcement Program for the grant period of October 1st, 2011 through September 30th, 2012.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody from DSS? Please come on forward.
Hello, thank you, Supervisors. I'm Tara Regan Anderson. I'm the Grants and Policy Manager for the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. As you've heard, the funds awarded by the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance, their Intellectual Property Crime Enforcement Program. These funds were made available through the Prioritizing Resources and Organization for Intellectual Property Crime Act of 2008. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office was awarded just under $200,000 for a single year grant award. Our office will utilize these funds for two primary purposes. The first is to strengthen a multi-jurisdictional law enforcement partnerships to more effectively combat intellectual property rights infringement, and high-tech crimes. The second of those primary goals is to further develop our office's capacity to successfully investigate and prosecute high-tech crime cases in this ever-changing landscape of technology. To complete these primary goals, the office will build a forensic examination infrastructure for the investigation and prosecution of these crimes, conduct outreach, education, and training to raise awareness, and facilitate collaboration between local, state, and federal law enforcement entities specializing in intellectual property crime enforcement. Specifically, the grant will fund personnel and fringe for one senior investigator position, training, forensic equipment, supplies, and consultation with industry experts. Now, Conrad Del Rosario from the San Francisco District Attorney's Office Economic Crimes Unit will describe in further detail the value of this grant to the City and County of San Francisco.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Conrad Del Rosario, and I'm an assistant district attorney, managing attorney for the Economic Crimes Unit. I oversee currently the High Technology Crimes Unit and was intimately involved with the creation of this grant. The grant targets two specific areas, and that is the collaboration between federal agencies and the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, as well as creating within our office an infrastructure that permits us to successfully investigate and prosecute cases involving high technology crimes. High technology crimes relates to anything from theft of people's personal information that might be stored within a particular victim company to more complex type of investigations, including network intrusions, hacking, and any type of theft of property that requires the use of high technology equipment. I'd be welcome to field any questions from the board members if you do have any questions, but specifically, there is a great demand in the city and county of San Francisco for the use of investigative and prosecutorial resources in the area of high technology crimes. I have vast experience in prosecuting and fielding cases and investigations involving high technology. And in the city and county of San Francisco, despite the fact that we are situated so close to the birthplace of high technology innovation, San Francisco, from a law enforcement investigative standpoint, does need ample resources to supplement and enhance current programs for investigations on high technology crimes. We hope that this grant specifically gives us the ability to work closer with federal agencies that do have high technology investigative resources, but it also gives the San Francisco District Attorney's Office the ability to create its own forensic lab. It creates the ability to specifically dedicate a investigator from the District Attorney's Office who could be trained in conducting investigations and forensic examinations on cases involving high technology. It's a great opportunity for our office, and I think it's a great opportunity for the city because so many people are victimized by high technology crimes, not just the victim companies, but crimes as simple as identity theft can be a result of a network or a breach intrusion on a victim company for the specific purpose of getting people's personal information. Being able to track these suspects, being able to assist victim companies with how their data was breached, this grant specifically gives us that capability. And if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer it, but I think at this point that's how I would like to describe the grant. The grant does include not just the equipment for being able to support an investigator, but it also requires us to do outreach to create community awareness, how to protect, how victim companies can protect their data, how victims can protect their personal information. And it also gives us the ability to train vertically an investigator specifically in the area of complex high technology investigations.
The question I have is how big is the cyber unit now?
Unfortunately, our cyber unit right now consists of one prosecutor, and that's me. I've been doing high technology crimes for about 5 to 6 years. And we have an investigator who has been trained to do forensic analysis and do high tech investigations, but he is not a dedicated investigator. So this grant actually gives us the ability of dedicating and hiring one investigator to be trained specifically for the purpose of conducting investigations and forensic analysis.
Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Any comments or questions? Seeing none.
Thank
Any
you.
Public comment on this item? Step on up.
Swinging down the city and we're going to find you. You're a high tech and you're going to take it away. And you let the robber slip. And you're going to find you and you're not going to miss. Secret agent, high-tech man, secret high-tech agent man. They've given you a number, this number 198, and we're taking away your name. We're gonna find you, man, secret high-tech agent man. We've given you a number, and I wish good luck to you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Motion?
Make a motion to move forward with a recommendation.
Very good. So moved. Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, would you please read item number 2? And I also want to welcome Supervisor Eric Maher.
Item 2, resolution supporting adoption by the San Francisco Sheriff's Department and the San Francisco Juvenile Probation Department of a policy restricting use of local funds to respond to civil immigration detainers.
Supervisor Maher.
Thank you, Chairman Mirakarimi. Colleagues, I introduced last week a resolution that I hope that could be supported by the broad coalition of community activists, immigrant rights organizations, and criminal justice folks as well. It's a resolution that encourages and supports the Sheriff's Department and the Juvenile Probation Department in reducing entanglement between local law enforcement and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Entanglement with ICE harms public safety and interferes with community policing strategies by increasing fear in immigrant communities of coming forward to report crimes and cooperate with local law enforcement. This resolution merely clears up troubling misrepresentations by ICE that has caused many local law enforcement agencies to believe erroneously that ICE detainers are mandatory and that local law enforcement agencies are legally required to comply. Contrary to this false impression about ICE holds, 8 CFR 287.7 expressly provides that ICE detainers are merely quote-unquote requests that local law enforcement advise the Department of Homeland Security when an individual is due to be released from the local jail. and that local law enforcement continue holding the individual beyond the scheduled time of release for up to 48 hours for ICE to assume custody. This resolution addresses this problem by emphasizing that San Francisco County is under no obligation to use its limited resources to enforce federal immigration law, and that enforcement of immigration laws is a responsibility of the federal government, not the local. Finally, by means of this resolution, San Francisco will join many other states, cities, and counties across the nation, including Cook County in Illinois and Santa Clara County down the road from us, that are informed about the discretionary nature of ICE detainers and refuse to enforce them, except in situations where full federal reimbursement is provided. So, colleagues, along with a coalition of many different organizations and immigrant communities, I urge your strong support. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Marr. Supervisor Campos.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank Supervisor Marr, the author of this resolution, for bringing this forward. I also want to thank the very broad coalition that has been working on this matter. If I may, I'm going to just say a few words in Spanish. Quisiera agradecerles a todas las personas que han venido a esta audiencia, las que están aquí, las que están viendo por televisión. Quisiera agradecerle al Supervisor Marr por introducir esta resolución. Es para mí un honor apoyar la resolución. Creo que es importante que la policía de San Francisco, el alguacil de San Francisco y todas las autoridades de San Francisco se enfoquen en la ley local y no estén en el negocio de implementar la ley de inmigración. Y creo que es importante que se haga esa distinción y, por lo tanto, apoyo esa resolución y espero que la mesa de supervisores lo apoye también. Y no solamente eso, esperamos que haya resolución por parte del alguacil de la ciudad, no solamente el alguacil actual, pero también el próximo alguacil de la ciudad. So I just wanted to reiterate that I want to thank Supervisor Marr. I think that this makes sense. I think it's consistent with the fact that we are a sanctuary city. Is something that other jurisdictions, and my understanding is that there are at least four other jurisdictions that are actually following this practice of not honoring ICE holds. And, you know, what I will say about this policy of making a very clear distinction between local law enforcement and immigration enforcement is that it's something that makes all of us safer. And, you know, I give the example of how if any San Franciscan is the victim of a crime and you have an undocumented person who is a witness to that crime, you want that person to come forward and report that crime. And by coming forward, that person is making you and the community as a whole safer. That person is not going to come forward if people have a fear that any entanglement, any connection with law enforcement could lead to deportation. That's why it's important to protect the entire public to make that distinction. So with that, I want to thank everyone who's here.
Thank you, Supervisor Campos. I believe we're all in tight time constraints where Supervisor Marr has to leave, and we're only quorum until 2. So I believe Angela Chan is here from the Asian Law Caucus. And I know that there are numbers of people who may want to speak to this, so we'll have to compress this as much as we can. Okay. We'll try to push it as much as we can until about 2.
Sounds good. I will just start then. Thank you very much, Supervisors, for holding a hearing about this resolution today. Special thanks to Supervisor Marr for sponsoring and authoring this resolution, Supervisor Campos for co-authoring, and Supervisor McReamy for chairing this hearing today. As you see, the resolution before you was thoughtfully written. The lead point in the resolution is that we cannot have community trust of law enforcement if we have the program Secure Communities operational in San Francisco. San Francisco, through the leadership of Sheriff Hennessy, has tried very hard to get out of the Secure Communities program, which basically links any fingerprints taken by law enforcement to immigration, sending over 430 people in San Francisco into deportation over the last year or so since it's been active. Nationally, over 104,000 people have been deported. California, over 55,000 have been deported under the ESCOM program. California actually has the highest number of people deported nationally compared to any other state. San Francisco's deportation numbers, 430. Of those, 79% of the people deported, about 10% higher than the national number, 79% of people deported do not have criminal records or arrested on lesser offenses, including traffic violations. You'll hear today from stories of people who have been the victims of crime, who've called the police for help in San Francisco and have ended up in deportation proceedings because of secure communities. Sheriff Hennessy spoke with ICE and actually specifically asked ICE, do I need to respond to ICE holds? ICE acknowledges that Sheriff Hennessy is very smart, he's a trained lawyer, and he knows the right questions to ask. ICE had to acknowledge to Sheriff Hennessy that he does not need to respond to ICE holds. I have a number of documents I wanted to show you to emphasize this, but I think I'm just going to show you just one of them. Is the specific CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations that talks about ICE detainers, and that's what gives the authority for ICE detainers. And it specifically says in here, the detainer is a request, just to be clear. On the ICE hold form, it also says the detainer is a request. And here's the ICE hold form right here. It is requested, just to be very clear about that. Thank you very much, and I hope you vote yes today on the resolution.
Thank you, Ms. Chan. Appreciate it. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Supervisors, and thank you, especially Supervisor Marr. I'm Father Richard Smith from the Episcopal Church of St. John the Evangelist and a clergy leader in SFOP. Others have spoken eloquently about the legal and law enforcement implications of ESCOM. I want to speak as a priest and tell you about the toll that I see ESCOM taking on people's hearts and souls, on their families and their most cherished relationships. I've spoken with parents who drop their kids off at school in the morning and then say a prayer that they will be around to pick them up at the end of the day. I met a woman in an abusive relationship afraid to call the police. These are not criminals. They are law-abiding people working hard, often under very difficult circumstances, to provide for their families. When kids hear about laws and programs like ESCOM, they begin to ask, is there something wrong with my family? Why are we being tracked down like criminals? And you know, when you're a kid, when you hear something, even though it's not true, if you hear it often enough, eventually you can start to believe it. You can start to wonder if maybe there's something wrong with my family. This false message that their families are somehow criminals is institutionalized and implemented in programs like ESCOM. It calls into question their very dignity as families. It erodes the confidence families need to have in order to raise their kids. I see the current implementation of ESCOM as contributing to a profound spiritual crisis. The assumption behind it is mean-spirited. It stigmatizes families already experiencing economic stress. Sheriff Hennessy is right in his assessment of it, in his efforts to limit its harmful effects. This program has no place in the city of St. Francis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Juan Carlos, and I'm a leader at the St. Peter's Church. We've been organizing around immigration for around the past years, and actually, I'm really sad when I saw ESCOM coming to our cities because I knew that it will devastate our communities. We are here, we're communities, with all the pain that they already have divided us. Actually, this law has been sugar-coated with a name, that's supposedly to protect our communities. The hard-working communities or immigrants that are working and putting the breads and moving forward our economy to here in the city because they contribute with their taxes and with their families. We are the engine of the economy. We're not being recognized, I think, all the immigrants, because we are the engine of the economy that move forward this economy in the city. And this ESCOM does not make sense because actually more than 400 people here in San Francisco used because ESCOM was adopted here in the city were deported. So we would like to ask for all the Board of Supervisors for your support because our families are being divided. Not only our families, the kids that are born here in this nation, are being unjustly—it's
like they're being ripped away from their.
They're being ripped away from their rights. They're Americans, and what kind of message you're sending to the American kids that in the future will be the leaders of this nation? Please, I will ask for the support of all the supervisors to opt out of RESCOM. This is actually a lot of sugar cutting. With a name, but actually it's devastating, it's inhumane, and it doesn't make economic sense because the city has to pay for the detainees. So please, let's have a conscience and let's please take care of this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Hello, how are you? My name is Sergio Gomez. I'm a youth minister. Youth coordinator at St. Paul of the Shipwreck. One of the stories that I want to tell is back in March, I had one of the parents of one of the youth give me a call early in the morning, crying, really hurt, saying her husband had been detained. And I asked her why, and she said he had the day before tried to break up a dispute and came back home. Everything was seemed like everything was going good. And in the morning, say around 6 in the morning, he gets detained from San Francisco Police Department. And when he was detained, seems like they took care of everything. There were some charges pressed against him, which were then dropped. So he was ready to go home. And he gets a call saying that he was going to be held in jail because ICE was gonna go pick him up. And this mother was really, really hurt. She was telling me her story. And I get to work with this youth and I really saw the way the families are being hurt, split apart. And all he was trying to do is be a good citizen, break up a dispute. And there's also other cases, other stories that I've heard in the community. As a youth coordinator, you get to find out the stories from the kids, the real stories that hurt them, the heart that these kids have and don't understand why their parents are going through this. And it's not only them, it's also the kids themselves, which we need to opt out the ESCOM and stop this. It's enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es María Dolores, soy miembro de la colectiva de mujeres y les doy las gracias y apoyo esta propuesta porque nos va a beneficiar mucho para que menos niños queden separados de sus padres y tal vez tengamos un poco más de esperanzas para esta Navidad. Gracias.
Good afternoon, my name is María Dolores. I'm a member of la colectiva de mujeres. First of all, I want to thank you for this resolution. I'm here in strong support of the resolution. I believe it will benefit our communities. I believe there will be less kids who will be spending time away from their families or having to deal with family separation these holidays. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Rosa Ochoa y soy miembro de la colectiva La Raza Centro Legal. Apoyo esta propuesta también para que la policía de San Francisco ya no trabaje tanto con ICE porque hay muchas familias separadas. Gracias.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosa Ochoa. I'm a member of la colectiva de mujeres of La Raza Centro Legal. I'm here in support of this policy. I believe that police should not be working with ICE. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Teresa. Estoy porque yo apoyo la organización de Mujeres Unidas, porque Mujeres Unidas para nosotros es como una segunda casa. Muchas gracias por apoyar la propuesta para que el policía no se comunique ya tanto con el ICE y nos deje estar en paz. Gracias por escucharnos, por tomarse su tiempo. Muchas gracias.
Good afternoon, my name is Teresa. I'm a member of Mujeres Unidas y Activas, which is like a second home to me. I'm here today to support this proposal and ask you to support it. I believe that ICE should not be working with the police and hopefully with this proposal, ICE will leave us alone. Thank you so much for listening.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Rosa y pertenezco a Mujeres Unidas y sí apoyo esta organización para que la policía no haga tanto detención y dé a la migración. Gracias.
Hello, my name is Rosa. I'm a member of Mujeres Unidas y Activas. I also support this policy. I also do not want ICE to be working with the police so much and have so many detentions. Thank you.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Petra Rosas y estoy aquí con las compañeras, miembros de la colectiva de San Francisco.
Good morning. My name is Petra, or good afternoon. My name is Petra Rosas and I am here with my compañeras from the Women's Collective of La Raza Centro Legal here in San Francisco.
Estamos apoyando la resolución que está en San Francisco. Nosotros somos mujeres trabajadoras, necesitamos eso, tenemos el miedo de que un día lleguemos y nos separen de nuestros hijos. Sería como quitarnos la vida o morir en vida sin nuestros hijos. O pensando, mi esposo va a llegar, no va a llegar, algo va a pasar. Somos personas honestas.
We support this resolution. We are workers. And we are devastated by the possibility of being separated from our children. Nothing could be worse than to be separated from our children, to come home thinking that our husbands won't be there because they were detained by ICE. We are honest people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speakers, please.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Norma Ortiz y soy de Mujeres Unidas y Activas. Yo quiero empezar diciendo que a lo mejor para Estados Unidos soy un número más, pero por desgracia fui víctima de violencia doméstica y también me agarró ICE y fui detenida.
Good afternoon. My name is Norma Ortiz. I'm a member of Mujeres Unidas y Activas. I want to start off just by saying that maybe to many of you in the United States, I'm just another number, but I was a victim of domestic violence and also of detention by the police.
Desde ese día, mi vida cambió. Es muy difícil pensar. Yo no sé si ustedes tengan familia y se han puesto a pensar alguna vez qué pasaría si ustedes no están con sus hijos. Es muy difícil pensar eso. Nada más.
From the day that that happened to me, my life changed completely. It's very difficult for me to think about that. I don't know if you have family or if you have children or if you've ever stopped to think about what it would be like if you weren't able to go home to your children.
Yo apoyo a esta proposición.
I support this proposal.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Alan Martínez y soy miembro de CUA. Soy sobreviviente de violencia doméstica.
Hi, my name is Alan Martínez and I am a member of CUA. I am a survivor of domestic violence.
Aunque ya no estoy con esa persona abusiva, me preocupa pensar en las amenazas que me hacía de llamar a inmigración si no hacía lo que ella quería.
Even though I'm not with that abusive person anymore, it worries me to think about the threats that she used to do, about calling ICE if I didn't do what she said.
Hoy día temo por mis hijos porque son indocumentados también. Y con ESCOM podrían ser reportados si mi ex llama a la policía y acusa falsamente a mis hijos de cualquier cosa.
Today, I fear for my children because they are undocumented, and with ESCOM, They could be deported if my ex calls the police and accuses them falsely of anything.
Por favor, proteja a nuestras familias y a nosotros los sobrevivientes de violencia doméstica de la comunidad LGBT. No dejen que San Francisco responda a las llamadas de detención de ICE. Gracias.
Please protect our families and us, survivors of violence in the LGBT community. Please don't allow San Francisco to respond to the calls to the ICE holds of ICE. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mi nombre es Carolina Morales. My name is Carolina Morales, and I am the intervention director at CUAV. It's great to see you all again. And sadly that I'm seeing you all here because of ESCOM. And I wanted to add that Alan, it's not the only survivor of violence that we support every week that has threats by their partners to call ICE. Unfortunately, having now this collaboration between police officers and ICE, it makes it so much easier for an abusive partner to make those threats. Because now it's not calling INS, which maybe, you know, INS will never show up to the door. A police officer will indeed show up to the door, and the person is going to get arrested and deported. It's very, very scary. And and other violence survivors are here with us too. They're CUAV members, and they're showing support to Alan and showing support to the Board of Supervisors, basically passing this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Supervisors. Beverly Upton, San Francisco Domestic Violence Consortium. We appreciate your leadership and the leadership of Supervisor Marr and Sheriff Hennessy on this issue. I brought a letter that the Domestic Violence Consortium joined in writing to the Senate Judiciary, Senate Judiciary Committee that it's holding hearings this week on the federal issues around secure communities. So, of course, we're hoping that secure communities will be dismantled at the federal level, but until then, San Francisco and many other progressive communities have to take the lead. You've heard from our friends and members and sisters and brothers at CUAV and Mujeres Unidas y Activas about the impact on the communities of ESCOM and survivors of violence. We have seen a very high detention rate of survivors who have called the police who were indeed the victim, but the perpetrator may be gone on arrival, or may be able to talk the police into believing that the victim should be arrested. This is a strategy that happens all the time in abusive relationships, especially where the victim is an immigrant. So ESCOM just actually helps keep all of that abuse in place. It keeps silence in the communities. I'm so afraid it's having a tremendous chilling effect in all of our communities, just as San Francisco is really you know, our homicide rates are down 80% regarding domestic violence, and I'm so concerned that this policy will stop that trend. And I brought copies of the letters for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Buenas tardes a todos. Vengo representando a Ley Dev, al programa del Libro Programa de aquí de San Francisco. Estamos aquí apoyando a la ley esta que se está llevando a cabo y también queremos que nos apoyen ustedes. Y también queremos mencionar que no se olviden que San Francisco es un santuario.
Good afternoon. My name is Juvencio, and I'm representing the San Francisco Day Labor Program. We are also here supporting this resolution. We need your support at this moment. Please remember that San Francisco is a sanctuary city.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Cesar Garcia. I belong to SFOP. Yo vengo aquí a agradecerles para que, gracias por apoyar esta medida porque Creemos que San Francisco es una ciudad santuario y no deberíamos permitir estas leyes tan atroces para nuestra comunidad.
Good afternoon. My name is Cesar, and I'm here representing SFOP. I'm here to thank you for supporting this resolution. Please remember that San Francisco is a sanctuary city. Please do not support these atrocious laws that harm immigrants. And I just want to end off by saying my name is Renee Saucedo. I am also with La Raza Centro Legal and the San Francisco Day Labor Program. And the Women's Collective really want to thank you on behalf of my organization for considering this resolution. I do hope, however, that this resolution at some point, when it becomes politically feasible, becomes an ordinance, becomes a binding becomes a policy that is binding, and particularly our future sheriff, it would be nice if our future sheriff would also make it into policy as soon as he gets into that office. So perhaps make it the sheriff's department policy after this resolution passes, and then soon thereafter, once it becomes politically feasible, if the new sheriff and the Board of Supervisors could make this policy binding beyond a resolution so that in future years we don't have to worry about depending on who the sheriff is or who the Board of Supervisors are to continue have to advocate for this. Thank you very much.
Next speaker.
No more ice safety. No more ice safety. Make it turn out right in the item, see the heights, and make sure the immigration don't bite. Ice safety. Make it turn out right safety. Ice safety. Ice safety. Make it nice for the babies. Ice safety. No more ice. And it feels like I'm frozen in time. And you're the only city I can see. Oh, I've waited all my life for better now that you're here. And I've waited all my life for better now you're near. And I never thought I'd see that money legal tender. And I never thought it'd come my way. Won't you make it happen today? Hey, yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Try to make this short and sweet. I'm Michelle Young from Chinese for Affirmative Action. We serve mainly monolingual Chinese community members. San Francisco is a sanctuary city, and it really is, the purpose of it is to protect and to support the community, no matter, regardless of immigration status. And I think SCOM really does the complete opposite of it, so I really hope that you will continue, you know, to bring back the lost trust that we've had since SCOM has been started and passed this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Cynthia, and I work at Causa Justa Just Cause, and today we're here to support the passage of the resolution and onto the board, and hopefully in the future to a policy that gets accepted by the Sheriff's Department and law enforcement in the city. Today we're not only want to support it, but want to also speak to how this will really, really impact greatly, positively, the people that we work with. We see mostly tenants, most of them who are immigrants or who are mentally ill or live in SRO hotels and in really, really bad living conditions. And we've seen that the need that arose for the organization that we have was based on how little folks were able to assert their rights when dealing with bad landlords or when dealing with living conditions that were not habitable. And we're seeing that since SCOM, more and more people are afraid to take the simple
multiple steps of requesting repairs, of calling the Department of Building Inspection, of collaborating with any city agency, even when it's not law enforcement, to get their rights asserted and to live in a dignified way. We've also seen that more and more there's a lot of harassment between when there's issues in the hotels and people are afraid to report the issues they may be having with management. Management has even threatened to call ICE if people want to assert the right to live in an SRO hotels. So we want to really encourage you to, you know, really move this forward, to pass the resolution. And lastly, I wanted to just share the story that just came out this week of Antonio Montejano, 40-year-old U.S. citizen, wrongly picked up by ESCOM. Like everyone, this program is not doing anything that it's supposed to be designed to do. And there's a lot of questions of whether local police should even be entangled with any of this, right? So he spent four nights locked up for a shoplifting charge after he forgot to pay for a candy his children had, which then was dismissed. He tried to explain it, but of course he was referred. He had purchased about $600. The small charge was dismissed. Montanejo was detained because of an immigration hold, which was triggered by ESCOM despite his citizenship status. When he was released, he says his 8-year-old child said to him, "Can this happen to me because I look like you?" He felt sad when he heard him say this because he's right, and it's true. It can be that this happens to him because he looks like his dad, because he might look like somebody that the police might want to pull over. So we want to encourage this because of the many reasons of racial profiling, that injustice in our communities not being able to assert their rights and live with dignity. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Ariana Gil Nafarrate. I'm an organizer with Mujeres Unidas y Activas. I'm here, obviously, in support of this resolution, and I really encourage the Board of Supervisors to pass this resolution, not only for the effect that it'll have on the communities here in San Francisco, but I'd also like to remind you that all over the country, different states look to San Francisco, and we've for a long time been a model of progressive laws and policies. So I just would like to ask you guys to take a step back and look at the positive example that this city would be setting for other counties and other areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Lorena Melgarejo, and I'm the Civic Engagement Director at Carecen. We work with families every day, providing services in the schools for leadership development. We do legal services for immigrants, and we work with young people that are trying to come out of the gangs to do tattoo removal. And the stories that my coworkers who work in the front lines every day tell me is that people are afraid already of the police for various issues in the immigrant community. And what we have heard from Sheriff Hennessy and other police officers is that a key aspect of them to be able to do their job is to have the trust of the community. And community policing is a time-proven way to protect our community, not just the immigrant community, but all of San Francisco. So, you know, I'm here in support of the resolution, and I hope that today you take the right step forward to continue to go in the right direction that San Francisco has been going, to make San Francisco a city for all, not just for the people who have the commutation, but for everybody that invests and works and loves this city. As you know, you might have heard, I don't know if people talked about, but it recently came out that more than 5,000 children have been left behind because of deportations, and are now they're citizens of this country, and they don't have their parents, and they're in the foster care system. Secure communities is a net that is catching families and throwing them apart and affecting everyone. So I encourage you to vote yes on the resolution so we can move forward for next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, Supervisors. My name is Josue. I'm here representing Young Workers United. This ESCOM program has actually been has had a negative impact on our base particularly. We had one worker that is a member of ours that actually earlier this year got picked up because of a domestic violence dispute and was held in ICE for a couple of months And since being released through the help of the community, this worker has actually been living in fear now. And it's really, it's a huge impact to see that this worker is now afraid to participate more in the community, be able to participate fully within our organization. And so we know that this is a huge issue that a lot of community folks here have been working on for a number of years. So I would definitely encourage you all to support the resolution and be able to pass something where, as a city, we can definitely provide a dignified and safe atmosphere for a lot of community members here. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Francisco Ugarte. I'm an attorney doing deportation defense at Dolores Street Community Services. I'm speaking on behalf of the resolution. I'm here with SFIRDC, part of the National Lawyers Guild, as well. And one thing I just wanted to add, I know the topic of domestic violence has come up. We represent several people who were victims of domestic violence who sought assistance from the police, who were then found themselves in removal proceedings because of SCOM. And many times in domestic violence situations, people aren't only charged with domestic violence. As a matter of fact, I represent somebody who is actually charged with attempted murder. And that sounds quite dangerous on its face. However, she was innocent of the charge and no charges were filed. So that's a very serious concern. Probably around 60% of our clients have been placed in removal proceedings as a direct result of local law enforcement where no criminal charges have been filed. And I think that it behooves us to be a community more like Santa Clara rather than San Francisco and Cook County, and to have a policy, a real policy, a safe policy, and to really truly adhere to the sanctuary ordinance that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Peter Mancina, and I'm an anthropologist from Vanderbilt University and a resident of San Francisco. Thank you for having us here today. I would just like to say that I've been working with one of the newest migrant populations coming from Mexico. They're from Chiapas, Mexico. They're mostly 15 years old to about 35 years old. And I'm studying their experience as undocumented people in a sanctuary city. And I just wanted to say that these people, because of SCOM, I've seen, since SCOM has been in effect, I've seen an increase in they're being reticent to participate in local politics. As undocumented people, they have a lot to contribute to this city as undocumented people for, you know, all of history, basically, in the past century have had a lot to contribute to the city, and because of SCOM, their civic engagement is impinged upon. And I would just like to be here to offer my voice of support for this resolution, and I encourage you all to offer your support to it, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and the item is before this body. Supervisor Campos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion to move this item forward with a positive recommendation.
And I agree, and just want to thank everybody for helping facilitate this. This meeting's a little bit out of kilter. Usually public safety happens in the morning, but to accommodate Supervisor Marr and other schedules, we decided to have a rescheduled meeting this afternoon. So I'm sorry we're not able to go more into the analysis of it, but I want to thank everybody for being here today and their work on this issue, and we look forward to the next level of discussion. Madam Clerk, this item is supported and so moved. Any items further?
No, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good.